doing. I was teaching the young folk this morning about, you know, you can be saved and maybe not live up to everything you're supposed to be. But if you ever enter that realm where you want to live your life loving on the Lord and you tear all the fences down and let the Lord just have everything that you are, it is a life that will be amazing. Just the things, not just salvation. Salvation's wonderful. That's the greatest thing the Lord could have ever done for us. But that ain't the only thing the Lord wants to do for you today. Amen. He wants to do some great things in your life. I'm still amazed at the grace of the Lord. Let's stand together, if you're willing and able, Hebrews chapter 11. We'll read one verse this morning. And don't get too excited. Y'all know how long one verse can take around here. And it's a big verse. It's a big verse. And it's been preached. I've preached it. You've heard others preach it. And I want to deal with it again. Seemed like the Lord made it fresh in our heart again this week as we was praying on this service and what the Lord would have us to do. And so let's look here, Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 7. The Bible said, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, notice this phrase, prepared an ark. Why did he do this? He did it maybe for several reasons he could point out, but this verse says at this point, to the saving of his house. To the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. For Lord to help me, I want to use this verse, and I can't remember if I preached on this around here or not. It'll be fresh, I promise you. I'm not just grabbed something. The thought maybe that I give to you may have been used before. I want to preach on the thought of building a home your children can be saved in. Amen. Building a home your children can be saved in. And I don't want to give any false guarantees or anything, but I want to deal with this. And if I'm being honest, when I was a young pastor, just getting started, little bitty kids, I had a whole lot of answers to questions I didn't even understand. And people let me preach, and I'm not even saying what I preached was wrong, but maybe preached it from a perspective of not understanding what it really is to raise children for the duration, all right? And a lot of ways, I'm going to be honest with you, I probably feel like the least to try to preach on this subject, but I want to bare my heart to you today. I believe what I'm going to preach to you is right. I don't have as many answers as I used to have, but I have the book, all right? And so I want to preach to us today, building a home your children can be saved in. And this is not just to Riley and Maggie. It's not even just to the young families of our church. I'm not a grandpa or a papaw or a whatever all the names are. I'm a grump. All right, that's just the title. It's stuck. I'm a grump. And that means all them other things. It's just a little extra special than what you are. All right? But even being grandparents, I believe there ought to be something in our heart that would desire and be dedicated to build a family and an atmosphere that our grandchildren could come to know the Lord in. And that weight and that responsibility lays on us as parents and grandparents today. I'm going to try to lay that on us. And I don't know that I weep and cry. If I do, y'all just ignore it. I'm not a weeper and a crier, but I'm on a subject that touches my heart very dearly today. Let's pray together. You can be seated, all right? Heavenly Father, this morning I come to you in that name that's above every name. Our Savior, our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I know this morning in and of ourselves is no good thing. There's no abilities. Lord, there's no talents, Lord, we dare try to lean in upon today. Lord, I best as I know how, Lord, these last few days, and Lord, throughout the night and the morning, Lord, we're trying to yield ourselves, Lord, to you, that we could be made usable. Lord, in this regard of the direction you've laid upon our heart today, Lord, we surely do need your help. Lord, our heart is heavy, Lord, for my own children and grandchildren, Lord, today is heavy for the children and grandchildren of these that we have the privilege to pastor and pray with concerning those individuals, Lord, that they love and want to see saved. Lord, I pray this morning there'd be laid upon us, Lord, a burden and a desire, a responsibility, Lord, regarding our part in that matter. Lord, I know the matter of free will, and Lord, I know you've not made anybody where they have to be saved. But Lord, we know today you're not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And Lord, this morning may Lord, our part, Lord, in that, Lord, be laid upon us. And Lord, I pray even for those that would be among us that's not saved. Maybe there's a child, Lord, in a family today that's here. May the gospel, Lord, as it's preached, be touching to their heart and move them to conviction and move them to make a call upon God this morning for that matter. Lord, I pray this morning you'd get all the glory and all the honor, Lord, for everything that takes place here today. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Believe the matter, the subject matter, the life of Noah would be acquainted. We'd all be very acquainted with it, I'm sure, for the most part. Concerning his life, we read about him or introduced to him in Genesis chapter number 5. We read about the days that he lived in Genesis chapter number 6. It's not really my goal this morning to go back and to dive into the depths of that. Other than to say this morning, and we will look at some of it, but it was very, very wicked days. There were days that the majority of men did not know God. They did not seek after God. They were not walking with God. Most men and women and individuals of Noah's day were headed straight to hell, and most of them would be met in this life with the judgment of Almighty God. We understand that the anger of the Lord was kindled against that generation because of their sin and because of the wickedness that was in their heart and the imaginations that arose through their thoughts and their minds and out of their hearts. And no doubt all of that was exercised and displayed in their life and in their home and in their vileness. All of that, the Lord said, is just continually before the Lord. The Lord knew what they was doing and took knowledge of it. And because of that, he had no other alternative than to judge them with what the Bible teaches is a worldwide flood that would have wiped out all of humanity, save for one man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That man is the man that we want to study and look at today, the man Noah, who was a just man. The Bible said he was perfect in his generation, and he wasn't like everybody else. He wouldn't go in the same direction everybody else was going. He wasn't interested in that. There was something in his heart. There was something in his own upbringing that had put seeds of the Lord and who the Lord was in his heart. And of all the things that could have been said about Noah, or even could have been said about anybody in his generation, the thing that counted and the thing that spared him and saved him himself was that he knew God and that he walked with God. What a testimony that Noah's life was in the midst of that generation, that the Lord would be willing to speak to Noah, and not only speak to Noah and spare Noah, but give him plans and insight on building an ark that would be for the saving of him and his wife and his sons, and ultimately his sons' wives, and And no doubt that ark was for the saving of anybody that wanted to get on there. We believe that. Anybody who would have repented of their sin and turned to the Lord could have got on that ark and been spared and saved. And that's the message of the gospel, that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He had gladly saved the entirety of that human race had they but turned from their sin and believed on the Lord. We understand that they didn't, and the rains did come, and the floods did ascend, and the judgment and wrath of God against the wickedness of humanity, it did come. But we also understand this, that Noah built an ark at the command of the Lord. In building that ark and in following the Lord, we understand that he built an ark that literally brought about the salvation of, again, not only his life and his wife's life, but the salvation of his children. Again, we could go to 1 Peter chapter number 3 and in verse number 20. We don't have the numbers, the totals of the census, if you will, of how many of humanity existed in that day. Brother Jack, we know there were only 8 souls that were saved through the flood, and they were saved by what Noah built and the ark and the atmosphere and the building project, what he provided not just to all of humanity, but especially to his own family, that there was salvation in that ark that he built. And so that brings us to our thought today, and the verse that we've read, I believe, shed some insight on, and I know that he built an ark, but in really a sense, what he was building was a home that would stand the storm and stand the judgment of God when it came, that there was a place they were going to live in for a long, long time. There was a place they were going to sleep, a place they were going to eat at, and a place they were going to dwell together. And that ark became their home. It became their refuge. And in building this ark, we find a picture of what it is to build a home that your children can be saved in. That's what I've been trying to build all these years since me and Miss Kate got married, even in them first days of getting married, even in the day and the hour we said I do, not knowing what our children, how many we would have, and what they would look like. Are they going to be pretty? Are they going to be ugly kids? Amen, got a mix of both along the way. And in them early days, we didn't understand maybe all that God had for us. But Brother Larry, there's something in my heart when we got married that I wanted to have a home that would provide a refuge and be a place where the peace of the gospel could be known, that the Word of God could be known, that a relationship with the Lord could be had. I didn't want a home that would be contrary to that, but a home that would be conducive in that kind of an atmosphere, that that my children could know whether they'd ever believe on Him or not, whether they'd ever accept it or not, but that they knew in that home was the way of salvation. I believe that ought to be the heart. That ought to be the heart of every parent that's here today. I want to have an atmosphere in my home that my children can know something of the Holy Ghost and know something about truth, and even if they run to the world and run to the sin and don't embrace everything that we have preached to them, that down in the depths of their heart, hey, we know that there is truth in that home. There is God in that home. There is faithfulness and consistency in that home. That in that home is the way of salvation. And so this morning we're dealing with the subject of building a home your children can be saved in. Amen. I'm glad I had that kind of home. I didn't grow up in a perfect home. There's a lot of faults and failures in the Ledbetter family that I grew up in. But there was in that home a sense that I learned from an early age what salvation was. I'm thankful for that. There was in that home an expectation that as a Christian home, we're going to be in church when the doors are open. We ain't laying out to rest up because we're tired. Amen. We're not staying home on Sunday nights because we're scared of the night air. Some of y'all going to have to explain that to me sometime. Can't come to church tonight, that night air, it'll get us. Amen. Well, it don't get you on Monday when you're running around town. Somebody say amen. I grew up in a kind of home that if the doors were open, it was just right. We're a Christian family. We belong to that church. It ain't right to lay out for no reason. Amen. And I grew up in that kind of home, and I didn't understand it in them early days. I had all these things being pushed into my life and formed around my life. And as I got older, maybe even some of those things I didn't just understand, I began not to like. And I hate to even admit this today, maybe some of the things in that home that I even in my own heart began to despise and began to curse. I wouldn't dare do it outside and where Daddy could hear, amen, he'd have beat the ever-loving daylights out of me. But in my heart, there was a distance to those things that I was being raised in. But as a 44-year-old man today, saved, called to preach, serving the Lord, I look back on those days and I want to say this morning, I'm glad that I grew up in a home that had kept me around God, around the Bible, around the gospel, and gave me a place that I could know the right way to God and the right way to live. And a lot of the things I live today, I live because I grew up in a home that afforded me the opportunity to know how to be saved and how to live for God. And that ought to be our desire. You say, preacher, you keep saying it. I intend to say it so many times. You hear it in your sleep tonight. Amen, that our desire for that would be challenged and would grow and would be even greater after this Lord's Day, that we'd be striving to provide a home and an atmosphere in our home and in our family where our children and our grandchildren could be saved in. And what would that kind of home look like? What would it take to build that kind of home? I want to use Hebrews 11:7 this morning and lay upon us a few things if the Lord will be our helper. And we're gonna challenge this family and our families, and then we'll let you go. I want to say number one, amen, Noah building a home that his children could be saved in. I want you to notice in this verse the obvious thing is that Noah built this home by faith. He built this home by faith. I find it interesting when the Lord impressed me about this verse. I could quote this verse to you before I began to study it this week. In fact, probably from the early days of my life, I have known Hebrews 11:7 word for word. But something stood out to me that I've never seen before in this verse. It is when it comes, and we understand by faith is used over and over all through Hebrews 11. The Lord, the Holy Ghost, is emphasizing faith in these patriarchs of the Old Testament, making application our life in this dispensation of time. But when it came to the life of Noah, the Bible said in verse number 7, by faith. That's how it begins, and most of these characters, their story is going to begin by faith. But notice how the verse ends in verse number 7. It ends by faith. When it came to Noah, it is said that this matter of faith, his life, his story, his
his building and desire to build this home that his children could be saved in. It began by faith, and it rested on faith, and it ended by faith. And I want to say this morning that if we're going to build a home our children can be saved in, it's going to have to be built by faith. And when I make that statement, don't jump to conclusions, because I don't mean this like so many in our culture of religion say this in our day. They talk about faith. I got faith. And they talk about, well, I've got a little belief in me. Everything's going to be all right. And when they speak of faith, they're talking about having a positive mentality. That is not, and I'm not saying that's void. What I'm preaching of is void of that. But it goes far, far beyond just making a declaration that you believe everything's going to be all right. When the Bible said, by faith Noah, and it ends this verse, by faith. We're talking about a man that was tapped into what the Word of God has emphasized in the previous verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible tells us of the just and the justified. That Brother Tim, the just shall live by faith. Amen. It ain't running around saying, I'm believing, I'm living my best life now. Amen. This matter of faith deals with his relationship with God. Amen. This faith permeated not just what he said. It wasn't just something that rolled casually off his lips, but it was something that was lived out on a daily, consistent basis in his life. Amen. By faith, a man will please God. Amen. By faith, a man will be justified. Amen. Whatever is not of faith, the Bible said, is sin. And Noah was a man that built his home by faith. And if you're going to build your home by faith, you're going to have to be a man of faith. Amen. If you're going to put any faith in your children or give them the opportunity to lay hold on what true faith is, amen, you're going to have faith in your own self. Amen. I believe Noah, he wasn't trying to give faith to his children. He ain't trying to offer them, amen, something he himself does not have. Amen. There's a lot of youngins ain't got no faith today because mom and daddy, they were religious and they went to church and they had some badges on their lapels and they had a lot of religiosity, but they didn't have faith, and so there's no faith being able to be passed on to their children. Amen. The Bible said, Paul, I'm about to preach, praise God, I'm about to wind up, I'm going to preach in a minute. The Bible said Paul said to Timothy, he said, I'm thankful for the faith that you have, and I'm glad that I know that your mother and your grandmother had a faith in them, and the faith you possess, it is not detached from the faith that your heritage passed on to you. Amen. In other words, Timothy's mama and grandmama had something. And by the grace of God, that same faith got passed down into Timothy. Noah built by faith. Let me say several things about the faith that Noah had and he's building his home upon. I want to say, number one, it was faith for salvation. I love verse number 7, the closing line, said and became heir, speaking of Noah. Noah was the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I will say that he had faith for salvation. Amen. The day in Noah's life, listen, Noah was like you and me. He was born in sin. He was born going astray. He was born with the sin nature, amen, of Adam, who he was closer to than you and I are in lineage, but he was born a sinner nonetheless. But the Bible said he became an heir of salvation. That is the day, there was a day in his life at God, he heard the voice of God for himself. Amen. That salvation and the way to God had been proclaimed. And what did Noah do somewhere along the way? He had faith for salvation. And he said, I believe the way of God and the way to God is the only way. I'll trust that. I'll believe that. I'll rest all my eternal soul upon what God has said and God has showed. And I believe God for my salvation. Heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I want to say the home he was building for his children to be saved in was one of faith for salvation. This is a saved day. And I don't want to bog down here, but you're going to have a hard time getting your children saved, sir, if you yourself are not rooted and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have faith for salvation. Noah had it, and he became the heir of righteousness. That's interesting. And you go and you study what Peter would say about Noah. And in the days of Noah, you know what the Bible calls Noah? A preacher of righteousness. And that means a lot of things, but I'll tell you what wasn't void out of that preaching. And that is, the Lord's the only one who can save you. And you can't save yourself. And Adam, our daddy, messed us all up. And we're all headed to hell. And we're all headed to the judgment of God. There's the way of God that Abel took. And the way to hell that Cain took. And the only way to be saved is by the lamb and a sacrifice. And blood being shed. You got to put your faith in what God's word has revealed. It's the only way that unrighteous men can be made righteous. I promise you, if Noah preached that on the street corner, if Noah had a church and an assembly, he'd preach that in his congregation. Buddy, I promise you, he is preaching that in his home. And there's only one way to be saved. You won't be saved just because daddy's saved. You won't get saved because grandma and grandpa's saved. Amen. He preached a faith for salvation. And every man must believe on the Lord for themselves. It was faith for salvation. Amen. Going to be hard you get your children and grandchildren saved. If that ain't a big deal in your life. You ever tell them, do they know your testimony? I've said it so many times over the years. Amen. Told it so many times to my children riding down the road. I'm sure they could tell you the date. They could tell you how old I was. Amen. And just over and over and over telling them what a wonderful blessing it is to be saved by faith. I have faith for salvation. Amen. Listen, you got to make that big in your life to them if they're going to get a hold of that. Amen. He built his home by faith. It was faith for salvation. Let me say this. It was faith for revelation. By faith, Noah, being warned of God. In other words, if you study this out, you'll find that there is a part of this, a depth of this, that literally the Word of God is saying that Noah and the Lord were on speaking terms. They're walking together. In fact, the phrase Noah being warned of God literally means God was speaking to Noah and Noah was listening to God. There was a revelation of the Word of God to the life of Noah. Amen. Can I say if we're going to build a home, our children can be saved in? Amen. Our faith is more than, yeah, I got it all took care of. Amen. It's more than positive thinking. And it even goes beyond saying, I believed all that and I'm saved. Amen. The just shall live by faith. I'll just get saved by faith and live by faith. And in that, Noah had faith for revelation. He trusted and had confidence that God's word was so. It is divine revelation. Can I say in these days we're living in, if we're going to build a home and have a family, our children and grandchildren can come to know God in. Amen. It won't be a home that's void of a faith. Amen. That's in tune to God. Amen. The Bible said of Noah that he walked with God. He walked with God. That means more than they went on a stroll through the park or through the woods. That means that Noah was living his life leaning upon God, giving him a revelation, and God putting his word in Noah. Amen. Amen. You ain't going to build a home anybody can be saved in if you do it outside the Lord taking his word and you taking that and applying that. Listen now, not just to your children, but to yourself. You want to raise somebody, grow up and hate God, hate church, and hate you. You go trying to force the revelations of that book on them that they know you yourself are not living by. Amen. You'll raise a twofold more child of hell than yourself. How we doing? It was faith for revelation. No one knew what it was to walk with God, to hear God. Amen. To have God reveal to him spiritual things and eternal things and things that Noah desperately needed in the generation. And he is living in, can I remind you today, that the generation that we're living in, it rivals the days of Noah. And the only way we're going to be able to navigate all of this, ourselves, much less lead our families to God, and in a way that is right, we need God to give us a word. Amen. Our children are hearing the cry of Hollywood. They hear the cry of pagans and heathens. Come on now. And in the era we're living in, there's more voices than there's ever been. There's a podcast everywhere you turn. And by the way, a lot of them have a Christian label on them. And I've listened to them, and when I listen to them, I think, dear God, I hope my children never have to stumble across this. Amen, where they packaged it and made it look so happy, happy, happy. And you don't have to sell out and you don't have to go the old time way they sung about. And that you live a carnal life and just live any way that you want to, no boundaries, and still be all right. They have all of these voices going on all around you. I'm going to tell you, there's days that vexes me. Ryder, you're raising a girl in these days. I fear for my children. They're all, my youngest is 15, going on 30-something, amen. She thinks she can't wait to turn 16 2 months from now. And amen, I fear for them. I think about Anna Lee, and I think about Jenna and JoJo, my granddaughter said, and I think about other grandchildren that are going to maybe be conceived and born in this generation of time, and how evil it is, and how it's just gobbling up and it's swarming and it's trade, how to drag them down ways that are contrary to the way of God, ways that are going to lead them to the judgment of God. There are days, I'll be honest, that is overwhelming, and I would go absolutely insane but for the fact that God has given us his word. Amen. Amen. Yes, Amen. I'm bogging down bad. I'm going to preach 4 hours if I don't get after it. Let me tell you something. So it's just too bad in this culture and this hour. It's just too hard to live for God, preacher. It's too hard to overcome. Can I remind you, amen, that in the Old Testament days of that Babylonian captivity, Israel was in a mess. God indicted them with all sorts of idolatries and immoralities. And violence was in the street and pride. And men were not fully serving God. And the Lord had to send judgment and brought the Babylonians in and carried away a lot of the choice young people of that generation. They get down to Babylon, and I'm talking about it is heathen and it is as pagan as it can be. The king was going to take those Jewish young men and Babylonize them and put on the garments of Babylon upon them and feed them a diet that was after the ways of Babylon. And the majority of the crowd went along with it, and gladly so, no doubt. There's 4 young men said, we ain't going to do that. Now, how'd they know not to do that? Somebody had to instill in them revelations of what God had said. Then a heathen culture, I need all you young people to listen, in a heathen culture, in a place where they could have done and not had mom and daddy, amen, say, well, you shouldn't have done that. They could have done it and got away with it. In the eyes of man, they could have got by with it. They could have lived the way that Babylon was trying to conform them to. But they arose and said in that evil culture, we have received a revelation from our parents, from our forefathers, that we will not defile ourselves with the ways you're trying to tell us. Can you imagine, listen, can you imagine the faith for revelation that their parents or grandparents must have had that trickled down upon their life? They made a stand when nobody else would, and God blessed them for it, by the way. Noah built by faith. He had faith for salvation, faith for revelation. He had faith for condemnation. There's an interesting statement made here, and I don't want to act like or insinuate a correction. The Word of God, that's not the point of the Bible, said, by the which he condemned the world, and he did. He did that by faith. But, can I say it this way? He condemned the world, and the world condemned him. They ain't on the same side. They're not living the same way. They don't know the same truths. Amen. He has faith for condemnation by the which he condemned the world. Now that doesn't mean, I don't believe that it means that Noah was running around, amen, like some in our day being a jerk for Jesus. And I don't believe that it means that he was arrogant. I don't believe that it means that he condemned the world, that he was running around just bashing everybody and antagonizing them for the fact that they weren't as good as he was. When the Bible said, by the which he condemned the world, it means that the life he just got up and lived every day. The fact that there was something in him that when they beckoned him to do and involve himself in what they were involved in, he said, I can't. The Bible teaches us that they scorned Noah. They mocked Noah. They were condemning Noah. But Noah had faith for condemnation. Noah had a faith that said, y'all do what you want to do. Y'all go the way you want to go. I ain't going with you. God saved me. God gave me a word to live by. I'm not going to compromise for you or anybody. You can say what you want to say. I'll gladly bear the reproach of being a child of God. He had faith for that kind of condemnation. Is everybody hearing? Does that make sense this morning? We're living in a mushy-gushy religious day. I won't get in all of it. Amen. I won't get in all of it, but we was at a church yesterday, and I used the term church just because that was what was on the sign. We walked in, and when I walked in, I was trying to find where I was supposed to go. I heard some voices back down the hallway. I turned around another hallway, and I seen the sign. And Brother Jerry had said, all gender bathrooms. And it had an arrow pointing this way. I thought, unto the Lord, does that mean what I think it means? I'll be honest, I thought, I'm supposed to be in a church. I've got to be misunderstanding what this sign's trying to say. Somebody didn't think this out. That's got to mean all genders can go down this way and they'll find the appropriate bathroom. And I turned, and sure enough, there was a bathroom, and it said men's bathroom. And on the next door, it said women's bathroom. And I thought, whew. And I came out, and I went in the men's room, walked out, and I turned around the corner. Well, what I didn't know was just down the way, there was two other doors. I got the picture. I can show you this. Everybody okay? I've been waiting to tell y'all about this. They had the sign. Now, some of y'all are going to get mad. I even bring up the sign because it shows some of y'all don't really believe what you say you believe. But there's a little sign on every one, all four doors. On the men's door was the figure with the man in breeches. And you knew to go in the women's restroom, even if you couldn't read, because they was a woman figurine, and guess what it had? It had a dress on.
Amen. That's right.
So we all believe that. We all, but now we don't all live that, but we do all believe that's the way it's supposed to be. Say amen. I ain't getting on that. When I went down the hall, here's what I saw, Brother Charlie. Here's what I saw. I saw a sign I have never seen in my life before. It had, these are the all gender bathrooms. On the side, Brother Mark, you was there, you saw it. It had a man figurine. It had next to it a woman figurine. And then next to that, it had a figurine that split right down the middle. Half of it had the half skirt and the other had the half breeches. Brother Tim, in somewhere that calls itself a church. I entered into the room where the gathering was going to take place and they had this big sign. I meant to send it to Brother Tim. I felt like he probably could use it. Oh man. It was about bullying. Amen. Don't be something about a bully. I'll get it to Tim. I'll get it right later. But on there it had this stuff. We respect all people. We respect all people. We don't care. And it had a list of things which included your orientation. Are y'all listening? Now, I knew I was going to have some things in there I didn't agree with. Now, don't you get mad at me, but when I pulled up, right on the church's sign, it had the woman pastor's name. Let me tell you what, that woman and everybody who goes to that church, let me tell you what their problem is. They don't have faith for condemnation. They are so wishy-washy. that they don't even want the transgenders condemning them for condemning their lifestyle. Amen. Buddy, I'm telling you, in these days we're living in, if we're going to build a home our children can be saved in, and they're going to be saved and live for God, amen, if ever there's been a generation, and there's been many throughout human history that had needed this kind of faith, our generation needs it. And we will arise and say, I don't care what you say. I don't care how you condemn me. I will live my life in that mark of distinction of everything I am as a child of God will stand in condemnation to you. I ain't getting along with this world. I ain't trying to get along with this world. I ain't trying to be a jerk. I ain't trying to be a Pharisee. I ain't trying that friend to be hard to deal with. Amen. But if you try to tell me I got to go a certain way, I'm going to have to stand by faith and say, no, I'm not going that way. There's a way God has instructed me to live. Amen. Don't get mad at me. Our families, our homes, as so-called Christian homes, I'm afraid if we would really do inventory, we have blended so much of the world into our lives. You know me now. I ain't talking about living in a cave, your head in a hole, being a hermit. We are in the world. And that ain't changing until Jesus comes. Tomorrow morning you'll have to do business out there. You'll have to live and you'll have to buy groceries out there. And there's places you got to go. There ought to be something everywhere you go in this world that marks you. I ain't like the rest of this crowd. How we doing? Oh, God help us. God help us. Noah built by faith. Well, y'all handled that one so well. Let me give you number two. Noah built by fear. Noah built by fear. Look at the verse again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. I want to preach for a minute on this phrase, moved with fear. Moved with fear. I would ask today, I may not make it, Riley, no further than this. I can't make this a two-parter. This preaching's hard on me. Noah built by fear. He was moved with fear. Let me ask you a question. I'll get to it in a moment. But what moves you? We're in a day where people brag of no fear, fear nothing. Fear shows labeled fear factor where they try to prove how little fear or no fear that they possess regarding bugs and heights and fire and danger. And I want to say there's a certain thing about fear that we all live with that keeps us alive. Amen. I don't open and cook and pour out and eat the green beans or the baked beans that are 5 years out of date. Why? Fear. So I ain't afraid. No. Amen. Your problem is you're stupid. Fear. There's certain things you do while you're driving, unless you're Tim Davis, that you do and don't do because you have fear. Amen. There's a lot of ways that fear keeps us alive. Amen. I'm not talking about fear of eating bad poison food. When I'm talking about a fear of driving, not that Tim has done, he probably has done it, not with me in the car, but driving in oncoming traffic. Not talking about that kind of fear. Noah was moved with fear of God. He knew what it was like to come to a place in his life where really by his faith he reached a place where he said, I believe God so much that it has done something in my life. I fear God. This is not the fear of terror, being terrorized. This fear really, I think in the statement, moved with fear, we can break it down that it involves three things. Number one, that Noah was mindful. The word fear implies simply a reverence, a respect. The fact is, his fear is derived in the fact that Noah knew and recognized and stayed mindful of who the Lord was and the Lord's authority over his life. So many live with a, I'm really getting ahead of myself, but I may not get there. So let me say, they live with no regard, no thinking whatsoever about the Lord, who he is, and the authority and sovereignty he has over them. If you fear God, you are mindful of him, and that mindfulness moves you into a reverence where you give God reverence, you revere him, you respect him, you want to and gladly give him the honor that he is due. In this matter of Noah built by fear, he was mindful, but he was moved with fear. We see Noah was measured. The word fear is interesting. As you do a word study on it, it literally means to be circumspect, to be cautious, to be thoughtful. Literally, when the Bible said is moved with fear, and I've already preached on some of this, so let me just bump it and I'll move on. But his fear of God kept him from doing certain things. Because he feared God, his life was lived measured. I can't do this because I fear God. I can't do this and accomplish my ultimate goal of honoring and glorifying God in my life. If you fear God, you will not live just helter-skelter doing any old thing you want to do. You live your life when you're, amen, when you're brought to a crossroads and you have opportunity to do something, you measure that out. If it's sin, you come to the conclusion, I can't do that, I fear God. Noah was mindful in this fear, is measured in this fear, but Noah, literally the verse says, was moved by this fear. The Lord moved. The word moved, rather, it implies action and animation on Noah's part, listen, for spiritual and eternal things. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he was seeing the spiritual. He was seeing things that were not of this realm, things this realm knew nothing of. He was seeing the spiritual. He was seeing the eternal. That makes sense? I know it's getting long. Hang with me. He was moved by not ball games. It was, and I'm not preaching against ball games. I enjoy a good ball game, right? I used to enjoy playing it. I'm too old to play them anymore. But a good ball game, nothing wrong to maybe be entertained by that, not constantly and consume with it, but just enjoy a good competition. I ain't preaching against that. But what moves you? He wasn't moved by ball games. He wasn't moved by paychecks. He wasn't moved by money. He's not motivated by carnal things, though he's living in a carnal realm. That there was something that moved him more than anything else. That was because he feared God, he was easily moved by spiritual and eternal things. I preach, and Brother Stewart preaches in a generation and a culture that are moved very little by spiritual and eternal things. I don't want to make you mad, but some of y'all, and you know I love to fish. We can talk fishing, hunting, ball, weather, family, grandkids, and have a great time. But it's amazing when there's no connection on a spiritual level. Myself, other preachers in this place and in other places, this is not just to you. There are people that sit week after week, year after year, hear messages, some of the most dynamic messages of challenge to people's spiritual lives. Step it up. Clean your home up. Go another step with God. Let God have those no trespassing signs you put up around your life and kept Him from moving and working in. Fear God enough to be moved. Never move to the altar. Never check up. Noah was tender and sensitive so that he was moved with fear. He was moved by spiritual and eternal things. I don't want my children just to hear me talk about this realm. Don't forget what we're preaching, building a home your children can be saved in. Listen, we try to have fun. We're really boring people. Everybody, it's funny, we kind of laugh. Everybody's so interested in the Ledbetter family. We get all kinds of things said about us and interested in us. You know what we are? A bunch of boring people. Just boring people. But we try to have a good time in life. Amen. We laugh. We cut up. Sometimes we cross the line, make each other cry. Right, Mary? Amen. And we enjoy that. But if you are not moved in yourself about spiritual things and eternal things, you are not cultivating an atmosphere where your children say, that excites him, that excites her, and they begin to get excited about it as well. Does that make sense? But Mark, does that make sense? Building a home our children can be saved in. I've got so much more. He built by faith, he built by fear. This fear is contrasted, the contrast of Noah and his family in this matter of fear for God to the society that had no fear is such a drastic difference. Could take you, I don't have time, but we could go to what Jesus said in Matthew 24 about the days of His coming being likened to the days of Noah. They had no fear. Noah had fear. That society had no fear of God. Y'all know we're living in a generation that has no fear of God. So how do you know that? Because Jesus said at that day, He said they're just eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. No fear equals indifference. The idea there is just simply living, functioning, and making decisions with no thought of eternity in mind. No fear equals indifference. No fear equals immorality. The statement marrying and giving in marriage, it implies, especially when you cross-reference Luke 17, verse 26 through 29, that they were just taking marriage and the physical relationship in marriage, and it's more than a physical relationship, but they were taking that as a light thing. Jesus said the days of Noah and the days of Lot, and He linked them together. No fear equals immorality.
We're living in one of the generation we're living in, right? I'm talking about America, rivals the Roman Empire in the depravity of its vileness. It's out in the open. I make it even argue it's worse in our day, because in that day it may have been out on the streets. In our day, you sit in your room all alone and bring it right into your eyes. No reproach. Carry secrets. If you fear God, you won't do that. No fear equals ignorance. Here's what Jesus said: they knew not until the floods came. They were ignorant not because they had no word. They had a word. There was a witness. Rather, their ignorance was because they scorned the truth and chose not to believe it. Amen. I'm telling you, Noah built by fear. His children could grow up and see the difference of people who live with fear of God and live with no fear of God. I've been trying in recent days. I'm going to go a little extra. It's okay. We're out of time. If I let you out now, you got arm wrestle at the buffet. I'm doing you a favor. I've tried in recent days to point out, especially to my younger children, that distinction. See the life of this saint of God who has given their life fearing God and lived for God. Do you see the peace? Do you see the joy? Do you see the countenance and the way their life has turned out? I don't mean this in a judgmental way, but I'll point out to them, do you see this individual and the path they've gone down? They've not feared God. They're doing all their own things. Look how empty they are. Look how much drama is always in their life. Pointing out so that they can see distinctly the difference of fearing God and living in that fear. Noah built by faith. Noah built by fear. Noah built by foresight. The Bible said he prepared an ark. He didn't wait for the first raindrop to fall. He knew it was coming. Amen. The word prepared means to equip fully. It means to construct completely. One of the ideas of the word is to create. I thought about this prepared an ark. It reveals that Noah created an atmosphere that his family could find refuge from the impending judgment of God. What are we preparing? What are we equipping our children with? Amen. Again, I grew up a Christian home, a solid Christian home. There's a lot of things about that before I got saved I couldn't stand. I bucked it, fought it, and any chance you give me, if I could get behind Daddy's back, I would do some of the very things he had told me not to do. There's times I got caught. There's times I didn't get caught. Amen. Do you know what Daddy did? And it wasn't a perfect home. We could talk about all the failures. I wouldn't do that to my daddy. But there were some failures. There were some things he failed in preparation of. But he made enough preparation. And he equipped me with enough things that when God, the Holy Ghost, began to speak to my heart, turn to the Lord, got saved. He equipped me with enough. Once I was saved, I knew how I was supposed to live. You know what Daddy did? Daddy made some preparations.
You know what I'm trying to do, I've tried to do these 20-something years is prepare. Have an atmosphere. Have an atmosphere. Children equipped in an atmosphere that they could find a refuge and know in this is the way of God. He built by foresight. He built by focus. Notice what the verse says, and I'm done. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Some of y'all that know English real well, you'll have to help me some. I've been trying to figure it out. I'm pretty good with English. But why did the King James Bible say to the saving of his house and not for the saving of his house? You say, well, there ain't no difference. Well, obviously there is. One word begins with T, the other with F. One's two letters, the other's three letters. And there is a difference in why you would use one and not the other. Amen. There was a goal in mind. Literally means, my understanding, if I'm wrong, you correct me. Not now, after service. To the saving of his house means that was the goal. The goal was not to see how beautiful of a boat I can build. The goal was not some self-recognition where I can be in the Guinness Book of World Records. The stated goal, if you ask him, what are you doing? Doing all of this to the saving of my house. Now you can come if you want to come. But he stayed focused on his task of seeing his children have a place they could find salvation. I've got a lot of failures in my life. I would say the greatest failures I have are seasons, hopefully short seasons of my life, where I've got my eyes off of that goal. You say, shame on you, preacher. Well, let's get you up here and you make confession. Days I've got sidetracked. I'm worried about some of the most stupid, silly, carnal, earthly things. Well, he said something about me he shouldn't say. And you get consumed about what somebody said about you. You get consumed because your feelings got hurt. Well, she done this, and you walk around your house and in your home consumed with that. And in that season, you forget the stated goal is to the saving of our house. Did Noah have problems? Better believe he had problems. But you know what kept him with hammer in hand? Sawing on that lumber, bending it, putting it in place, pitching it, making sure everything was to the way that God had told him to build it. You know what kept him doing that day after day? To the saving of my house. To the saving of my house. To the saving of my house. He built by focus. If we're going to build a home our children can be saved in, our grandchildren can be saved in, challenge us all, especially fathers and grandfathers. Don't get your eyes off the goal. Nothing else matters. I've not had one battle in my Christian life that is greater than the goal and the desire of my heart this morning than to know my children would be saved. Building a home your children can be saved in. Noah built it. A lot of ways, there's great indication his own children helped him build it. The day came when the children of Noah would have a choice to enter into the door of that ark for themselves. The day came. Shem, Ham, and Japheth all had the same choice the rest of humanity had. God said, come thou in the ark. Amen. They had a choice to make. And thank God they got in. But can I say this morning, thank God Noah built the ark. Thank God he kept the door open. Thank God he provided them somewhere to enter. So that when they made that choice, they knew this will be our salvation. How are we doing on that? Maybe somebody here this morning that you ain't ever been saved. Your daddy's saved, your mama's saved, you know they're saved. Though they're not perfect, they provided you every opportunity to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You still have yet to do that. Be a good day to do that. I dare say beyond that, every parent in this place, not that I've preached it well, I've not, but we probably all should find us a place to pray. Why? To the saving of our house. To the saving of our house. Don't quit praying. My prayer, and I'm done, my prayer a lot of days, especially as my children reach these teen years, has been the prayer of Job. Y'all remember what Job prayed? Job prayed, Lord. He said, it may be. He didn't know. It may be they've cursed God in their heart. They may be cursing everything I'm trying to equip in their life. It may be they've cursed God in their heart. We don't know what else Job prayed, but we know he made sacrifice for them. I believe the testimony, Brother Stewart, is this. Job was saying, Lord, if they're cursing what I'm trying to put into them, deal with their heart. Let them see this is the only way of salvation. Today, some of us have some children that maybe we're concerned about. Maybe we've had some children make a turn away from what we've tried to equip in them. I used to be hard on that. Amen. I wish I could go back and bust 21-year-old Brother Ledbetter right in the mouth. I'll tell you this. Might ought to pray for him this morning. Stay focused.